Father, we just come to you humbly, Lord. Lord, we come to you with meekness, Lord, and openness ready to receive from the Word of God. I pray, Father, that each one would hear what the Spirit of God is speaking to their heart. Lord, that in some way we would forever be changed for all eternity. We give you the praise and the thanks for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we are in this series on basic Christianity. And you know, there's a lot of things that we could talk about under that topic, but we are just focusing on the most simple, basic things, the simple key elements of the Christian life. Last week, we talked about that which is first and foremost, having a relationship with Jesus, having a real relationship with the Lord. Without that, our Christianity is nothing more than religion. But with that, it changes everything. When we have a relationship with Jesus, then our whole life is different. And that's the beginning place for the Christian life, is a relationship with the Lord. Now, out of that relationship with the Lord comes the message today, transformed lives. You see, if you have a real relationship with the Lord, then it's going to transform your life. Christianity that doesn't really transform your life is not the real thing. There are a lot of religions in this world that will maybe improve you in some way or help you to be better in some way. But real Christianity transforms your life. It is a total and radical life change. See, there's a lot of ways that people just try to reform. But Christianity will transform your life. Jesus turns saints or sinners into saints. Now, some people might misunderstand what I'm saying, because you talk about a saint, they think of a handful of people who they think were very pious or maybe perfect in some way. Well, that's not biblical. Biblically, saints are those who have been washed in the blood of Jesus and have been set apart and sanctified by the blood of Jesus. It's not what we've done, but it's what He's done. And He takes old sinners and He turns them into saints. Listen, He takes drug addicts and turns them into Jesus fanatics. He takes drunkards and fills them with His Spirit. He takes people who are full of worry and fear and anxiety, and He gives them His peace. He transforms people's lives. People that were sad and depressed, people with broken hearts, He heals, binds up the brokenhearted. See, He transforms lives. He doesn't just make them a little better. No, He transforms. We need to understand that. We're not just trying to be good, do a little better. You know, some think, well, if I try harder and do this and don't do that. But it's not just about religion. Real Christianity, remember, we started this with this last week. It's about our relationship with Jesus. But it is also, out of that relationship, it is about having a changed life, a transformed life. Transformed through the power of the gospel. Amen. God uses the power of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, to transform our lives. Now, you know, we're living in a world, a society that scoffs at the very idea of what I'm talking about this morning. They make a mockery of it. And in fact, they use programs and will try to re-educate and reform people. Try to help people do a little better. Help people be a little better. But real Christianity is a transformation. And Jesus makes this very clear in John chapter 3 when He tells Nicodemus, He says, "Don't marvel that I'm saying to you, you must be born again." And there's one of the key things in our world today that is mocked and made fun of and belittled, is being born again. It's been cheapened and it's been laughed at and scoffed at in our society. But know this, that wasn't made up by some weird evangelicals. Jesus said, you must be born again. And I realize that there are millions of Christians today who don't believe you have to be born again. Jesus said, you must be born again. It is a life transformation. In that relationship with Jesus, as you put your faith and trust in Him as your Lord and Savior, the one who died on the cross to pay the price for your sins, when you believe that in your heart and you trust in Him as the one that paid the price for your sins, the Bible says that you are born again. You are a new creature. There's something that happened on the inside of you. But I want you to understand, Jesus said it, you must be born again. 1 John 5:1 says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. You got to put your faith and trust in Him as the one that paid the price for your sin, that died for your sin, that He really is the Son of God who died and rose again. And when you do that, the Bible says that you are born of God. Now you don't have to, listen, you don't have to walk the aisle and pray with somebody. You don't have to say a certain prayer exactly this way. What you do have to do is there has to be a time in your life, and you may not even know the exact day and time, or you may not remember the first time that you ever did that, but there has to come a place and a time in your life where you truly believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross. Not just that He did it, but that He died on the cross and paid the price for your sin so that you could be reconciled to God. And when you believe that, the Bible says, whoever believes Jesus is the Christ is born of God. You see, through the person of the Holy Spirit, God comes to live inside of you. You are born of God. That's what it said, 1 John 5:1. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. A new creature. A new creation. How are you a new creature, a new creation? It is because the Spirit of God has come inside of you. Because you have been born of God. Born of the Spirit of God. Now, in that translation, it says, all things are become new. And I, just out of curiosity, one time I looked that up and researched to see exactly what this verse said in the original language. And when it says all things, now I just want you to understand, you know, sometimes us preachers, we say, guess what it said? It means all things. But let me just tell you that what it says here, there's not a Greek word there. Where it says all things. That was just the translators took the liberty. They felt like it was inferred there. And so they said all things. And I want you to understand this. That when the translators do that, these are men who have studied the original languages for many, many, many years. And they certainly know a lot more than I do. And so if they say that it's inferred there, I'm not going to take that away and say that it shouldn't be there. But what I am going to tell you is that a lot of Christians get disillusioned. A lot of Christians miss the real truth here. And again, I'm going to give the credit to us preachers because we kind of say things like this and put things in these kind of terms. But people think, okay, well then when I get born again and I become a new creation, a new creature in Christ Jesus, then everything in my life is going to be fixed. All things are going to become new. Everything in my life is going to be perfect now. Everything in my life is going to be the way it should be. Now, how many of you born-again believers have had everything in your life just turn out perfect since you got born again? Everything in your life was new. You got a new car, you got a new job, you got a new spouse, you got a new house. No, it didn't happen that way. When you got born again, what happened is on the inside of you that you were born of God. On the inside, old things were passed away. That old man inside, that old sinful nature is passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It's talking about on the inside. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. That's what it said. You're a new creature in Christ. You're not the same old person. On the inside, you've been born of God. You have a new nature. But it doesn't mean that everything that was wrong in your life is all of a sudden going to be fixed the moment that you became a born-again Christian. No, and it disillusions so many people. In fact, what happens with a lot of people is that at some point, they just begin to think that either it's not real, or at least it doesn't work for them. And I'm telling you, that transformation begins when you put your faith and trust in Jesus and you have a personal relationship with Him and you are born again. But it's not over. That's just the beginning of the transformation that happens in your life. See, some people have the attitude that, well, once we get born again, then we just wait till we go to heaven. We just live out our days just like everybody else and wait to go to heaven someday. I'm telling you, Jesus has an abundant life for you. He wants there to be a transformation in your life. Real Christianity is about changed lives, transformed lives. Not just a little better, not just trying a little harder, but lives that are truly transformed. And when you are born again on the inside, that's a completed work in your spirit. When you're born again, the Spirit of God comes inside of you and you are a new creation in Christ. I don't know if you noticed this or not, but when you got born again, you didn't get a new body. No, if you're 40 pounds overweight and balding, you're still going to be 40 pounds overweight and balding unless you go on a diet and get a hair transplant. All right? Being born again is not going to change your body except for the fact that maybe you received a healing at the same time. And many of us have received healings that God did in our body. And maybe as you serve the Lord, God's going to bless your health. And you know what? I'm telling you right now that living a life of sin is hard on you and it'll age you. And serving Jesus will keep you young. But the day you got born again, you didn't get a new body yet. It's coming. The Bible says that there'll come a day that we're going to have a glorified body. That this corruptible body is going to take on incorruption. Amen. Well, I like to give you a scripture for everything. So Romans 8:23, it says, we also have the first fruits of the Spirit. You see, we've been born of the Spirit. Even ourselves, we groan within ourselves, eagerly awaiting the adoption, the redemption of our body. See, there's a coming a time when even these bodies will be changed and we'll have a glorious body. Amen. A glorified body. Get that out right. A glorified body. But listen, that day's not yet. Well, we understand that. We know that. Well, you also need to understand this, that your mind wasn't born again. Your brain wasn't taken out. You know, God didn't take out your old filthy brain and give you a brand new clean one when you got born again. Now, that's not to say that not any of your thought patterns changed, because certainly even to believe in Jesus and put your faith and trust in Him, there had to be a change in the way that you were thinking, that you decided that you're going to trust Jesus to forgive you of your sins. And you had to decide that you wanted Jesus to be the Lord of your life. But what I'm saying is that when you get born again, a lot of the hurts and the problems that you've had in your life, they don't necessarily all go away just because you prayed a sinner's prayer. You wake up the next day and you're still dealing with some relational issues with people. You wake up the next day and guess what? You still got the same financial problems that you had before you got born again. I just want you to understand, the transformation is not over. It's just begun. When you get born again and the Spirit of God comes inside of you, you're beginning an exciting life of transformation that He says in Philippians 1:6, it's not going to be completed until the day of Jesus Christ. He who began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's working on us. He's working in us. We talked about that this past Wednesday night. But you just need to understand that when you're born again, it is the first step of the transformation of your life, that on the inside He has transformed you. But that's not the end of it. No, we need to continue to grow in our walk with God and our relationship with Him. And I don't know where you're at in your walk with the Lord, but whether you are a brand new Christian or you've been serving the Lord for many, many years, I want to challenge you today that God still wants to transform your life. We're to always be growing, always be in a state of transformation. Listen, becoming more like Him. He says in Romans 8:29 that He has predestined us to be conformed into the image of His dear Son. In other words, day by day, as a Christian, this is the real Christian life. As a Christian, that day by day, you are being transformed to be more and more like Jesus. And so I challenge you, don't stop where you are in your walk with God, but keep growing, keep going on with Him. You know, we need to understand this about growing in the Lord and about change. Listen, you can't grow without change. Now, you can change without growth, but all growth requires change. And here's my great revelation for you. If you're staying the same, you're not changing. If you're staying the same, you're not changing. And if you're not changing, you're not growing. So we need to get to the place where we say, you know what? I want to grow, so I got to be willing to change. I got to be willing to make some adjustments in my life and see where I'm missing it or where I need to be transformed. And I got to tell you this morning, y'all, you know, y'all are a beautiful group of people. And I know many of you well enough to be able to say that you're sweet, loving, kind people. And I'm proud to be your pastor. And I say proud in a good way, all right? I'm pleased to be your pastor, all right? But guess what? I got news for you. None of you's arrived yet. No, there is room for all of us to still be becoming more like Jesus. And so I challenge and encourage you this morning. Realize that He wants you to grow. He wants to continue the transformation in your life. And just as you've been born of the Spirit on the inside, you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Listen, we need to live that out in our life. You know, it is God's power that brings the change in our life. It's not just religion. It's not just reform. It's God's power that affects the change in our life. But we have to open that door. You know, God doesn't make anybody get born again. You have to choose to put your faith and trust in Him and to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And never in your life will God force you to allow Him to change you and conform you into the image of His Son. He doesn't work that way. You have to open the door. You have to be willing to allow God to change you. And we have a part in that. Now, if you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, and we'll just read verse 1. He says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. He says, if you're going to serve the Lord, this is your reasonable service, that you present your bodies as living sacrifices to Him. And I'm going to tell you this morning, there are a lot of people that are playing church, not in this church, all right? We're talking about somebody else, right? Not you. Now, there are a lot of people that are playing church, a lot of people that are religious, a lot of people believe in the Christian religion. But if you want a transformed life, you can't come to God on your terms. You come to God on His terms. And His terms are these, that we present ourselves to Him as living sacrifices. He requires of us a total commitment. See, a lot of people want Jesus in their life, but they want to draw the lines. They want to draw the boundaries and set the limits. So, God, I need you to help me in this area of my life. But now, this over here, the rest of my life, let's leave that alone. But I'm telling you, if you want a transformed life, it requires this of us, that we bring our lives to God and we surrender them to Him. We yield to Him and we say, Lord, here's my life, a living sacrifice. That's your reasonable service. Church, in the body of Christ today in America, there's such a lack of commitment, of real commitment, where we're willing to sell out to Jesus and truly let Him have His way in our life. Truly let Him be the Lord of our life. You want to transform life? It requires this of you, that you not play games with God. You can't go halfway. You have to be willing to present yourself as a living sacrifice. And I tell you, when you do that, you are taking the next step to a transformed life. Because when you yield to Him that way, that opens the door for Him to come in and to change you with His power. Well, let's read the next verse. And do not be conformed to this world. You see, we're not supposed to be like the world around us. There's supposed to be a difference. Amen. Listen, everybody ought to know that we're a Christian. And not just because we got the t-shirt. No, everybody ought to be able to see the difference in our life. He says, don't be conformed to the pattern, to the ways of this world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The message this morning is transformed lives. And here is that very word in this verse of Scripture. Be transformed. And He tells you how. I'm so glad the Lord doesn't tell us to do things that we don't know how to do. And just leave us, you know, ignorant, not knowing how to do what He said to do. He says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He tells us very plainly that we have to change the way we think. If we want to be transformed in our life, if we want a life that's radically different from the world around us, then we have to change the way we think. We have to renew our minds with the Word of God. And He says, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You see, until we're willing to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice to God and renew our minds, we can't even really know and understand what the will of God is. You know, a lot of people are afraid of the will of God. They're afraid to really turn their life over to God because they're afraid that He's, you know, to do the will of God is going to be some bad thing. I'm telling you, God's will is always the best for you. I've never known anybody that did the will of God in their life and regretted it. I've known a lot of people, including myself at times, who did their own thing, did what they thought, and regretted it. But when you truly do the will of God, it always turns out good. He loves you. He has your best interest at heart. And if you'll trust Him and rely upon Him, I'm telling you, God has the best in store for you. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, you have to change the way you think. If you think like the world around you, you're going to act like the world around you. And you're going to get the same results as the world around you. No, you've got to renew your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The truth is most believers don't live much different than the world around them. I don't believe this is completely true about this church. But as a whole, in the body of Christ, the statistics say that Christian young people are just as likely to have sex before marriage as unbelievers. Now let me tell you why. Because their minds have not been renewed with the Word of God. Their minds have been filled with the philosophies and the teachings and the attitudes of this world about sex and marriage and everything to do with relationships through the TV, through sitcoms and soap operas and all kinds of TV shows and movies and music and just the society in general, whether it's talking to their friends or listening to a teacher at school, the attitudes and the philosophies of this world have so impacted young people, even Christian young people, that they end up living their life basically just like those who don't even know Jesus. Moms and dads, the truth is the divorce rate in the church is basically the same as it is in the world and people that don't know Jesus. Why? Because so many people live their lives and conduct their marriage and base their marriage on the same principles as those in the world rather than by the principles of Scripture. You see, if you will find out, young people, what God's Word says about relationships with the opposite sex, it'll transform your life. You renew your mind with the Word of God. Instead of listening to what the world says, you listen to what God's Word says. It'll transform your life and you'll be somebody that's different. Church, you can take this same principle, what I'm talking about right now, and just apply it in every area of your life. You see, most people in this world, they conduct their finances a certain way. And as you learn what the Scripture teaches and you renew your mind with Scripture, it changes the way you think and it transforms your life. I'm telling you, this is the key. You want to transform life? Here's what Romans 12:2 says. Don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world, the ways of this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. You want to live different? You want to live that life that Jesus has called you to? This is real Christianity. Transformed life. How does it happen? By renewing your mind. The word for renewing here is a word that's similar to our word renovation. It is like a house that's being renovated. And you know, one of the things you have to do when you renovate a house is you have to tear out some old things and you have to bring in some new. Well, this week we got new carpet in the house. Man, what a job moving all that furniture out, and they had to tear out all the old and bring in the new. Guess what? It wouldn't work to just bring in the new. They had to get rid of some stuff too. But I want you to understand this. In your mind, when you get born again, there are thought patterns. In fact, scientists and doctors today tell us there are neural pathways in your brain. And just because you got born again, as I told you, God didn't just snap your brain out and snap in a new one that's always going to think right. No, it's difficult. What I'm telling you this morning, it's not easy. It's difficult. You're going to have to take the Word of God and very intentionally renew your mind and begin to get your thoughts in line with what God's Word teaches. You're going to have to get rid of some old garbage thinking. Listen. Change is hard sometimes, but it's good. You know, if you've got a baby with a dirty diaper in the room, change is a good thing. And until that change happens, it's going to stink. If you've got a baby in the car with a dirty diaper, it stinks in that car. Well, I'm telling you this morning, there are a lot of people, until you change the way you think, the whole world's going to stink. You need to change. Well, I learned it this way about 25 years ago, and it's not Scripture, but it sums up some principles of Scripture. It goes like this. I don't know what you've been thinking, but you've got to get rid of your stinking thinking. If you keep on thinking what you've always thought, you're going to keep on getting what you've always got. There's a lot of truth in that little rhyme. I'm telling you, you got to change the way you think. The Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So you need to find out what the Scripture says about each area of your life. And as you begin to live by the Scripture, you renew your mind with it, and you live by the Scripture, it transforms your life. Oh, and then people see the change. We're no longer living our life by the ways of the world. But people can see that we really are like Jesus. That we really are living a Christian life. That we really are different. You see, that's why the term born again has been made such a mockery of. It's because so many people who claim to be born again yet live just like everybody else. In fact, in our day and time, some Christians even pride themselves on it. Well, I'm just like you, except, you know, I got Jesus. What? Listen, when you got Jesus, it's supposed to totally transform your life. We're not like the world anymore. We're a new creature in Christ. The old things have passed away. All things have become new. And when you renew your mind, He says, then you're going to be transformed. It's a radical, complete change in your life. You know, our battle ultimately was won on the cross. The spiritual battle that's fought for eternity was won by the Lord Jesus Christ when He died on the cross and rose from the grave. But a lot of people don't realize that as a child of God today, your greatest battle takes place between your ears. There is a battle that takes place in your mind. And if you don't renew your mind with the Word of God, you end up thinking carnal thoughts. You end up thinking just like people in this world who don't even know Jesus. And too much of the time, you end up living like them. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, as he thinks in his heart, so is he. In the NIV, if you read this passage of Scripture, it's kind of strange because it spells this out and makes it very clear. What it's talking about is a man that is trying to deceive you. Don't be deceived by what he says or what he does, because as he thinks in his heart, that's who he really is. But you see, the principle holds true. And it really applies this morning in talking about Christianity and real Christianity. Because there are a lot of people who know the right things to say and they know how to act a certain way. But it's who they are in their heart as a man thinks. There's that, you see, it goes back to your thoughts. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. A lot of people think that thoughts aren't important. Well, they're just thoughts. No, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Now, that doesn't mean that every passing thought or every thought that came across your mind is in your heart. When it says, as a man thinks in his heart, it's talking about your attitudes and those thought patterns that you habitually think on. It's talking about that, you know, when you continually think about something, it's more than a passing thought then. It's something that gets down in your heart. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Jesus said, Mark 7:21-23, he says, from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. You see, the transformation has to take place inside. It's not something where we just pick off the bad fruit on the outside and deal with the outside. No, it has to come, that change and transformation has to happen on the inside. But what you store up in your heart eventually is going to come out. And the thoughts that you think, eventually it's going to come out in your life if it's a habitual pattern. The very first thing he said comes out is evil thoughts. It comes out of your heart. In Luke 6:45, he says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You see, it's what you've treasured up in your heart, in your thought life, and in what you dwell on. When we're dwelling on the Scripture, we call that meditation. That you're thinking on the Scripture over and over and over. And as you do that, you renew your mind with the Word of God. And get your thoughts in line with God's Word. And it transforms your life. You see, what you think has everything to do with where you are in your life, and what's going on in your life, and even more importantly, where your life is heading. If you want to change life, a transformed life, be renewed in your mind. That's what the Scripture says. So I challenge you today, man, continue on in that transformation in your life. Don't allow yourself to become stagnant as a Christian and a believer, but continue on to transform your life by renewing your mind. See, we get so caught up in the attitudes of the world, a lot of times we don't even realize it. We say, oh, well, my boss hates me. He hates me. My boss hates me. I mean, he really does. He told me so. He hates me. I'm not talking about denying reality. I'm not saying that you say, oh, my boss loves me, my boss likes me. No, that's foolishness. But I'm talking about instead of dwelling on that, instead of continually thinking those negative thoughts, instead you say, Jesus said to love your enemies. Jesus said, love never fails. I'm going to love my boss. Though he hates me, I'm going to love him. I'm going to pray for those that persecute me. You see, you take control of your thought life and you begin to renew your mind. If you don't, you act just like the world. Well, those people, they hurt me. They did me wrong. That person, what they did to me. And you talk about it and you hash it out over and over again with people and you just keep going on and on. And you end up acting just like the world. Just like anybody else would do. But if you renew your mind with the Word of God and you say, I'm going to be kind and tender-hearted, forgiving one another just as God in Christ forgave me. And you renew your mind with the Word of God, then you do something that's radically different. You forgive them and you're tender-hearted towards them. And you don't talk bad about them. You treat them right. See, there's a lot of bitter people in this world, people with resentment, a lot of anger in this world. And you know what? Most Christians act just like the world around them. But Jesus, He lived a different kind of life and He's called us to be different. That's what it means to be a Christian. It's to be Christ-like. Church, I'm telling you, the key is you got to change the way you think. You got to renew your mind with the Word of God. Don't allow yourself to continue to think destructive and negative thoughts, but instead you got to replace them with the Word of God. And I say replace them because, you know, you can't just stop thinking them and think nothing. I mean, I've seen some people that were pretty good at thinking nothing. But you can't really think nothing. No, you've got to replace those thoughts with something else. You replace them with the Word of God and get your thoughts in line with God's Word. Thoughts of despair, hopelessness, they have to be replaced with, I know that He has plans for me. He gives me, see, people that don't have any hope, well, God gives us a hope and a future. I'm telling you, whatever the situation, whatever the circumstance, whatever your struggle is, there is Scripture that will speak to your situation. And if you'll begin to meditate on it and to get it down in your heart and life, it'll transform you. It'll help you to live in all that God has for you. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And you know, I found that if you think everybody's against you, eventually you'll probably manage to bring it to pass. If you think nobody likes you, you got a good start on it. You see, those kinds of negative thought patterns, they just lead you towards trouble. If you think nothing good ever comes your way, well, you won't even know it when it does. You think you're a loser, you'll find a way to lose. How much better to say, even when you say, nothing's going right for me, it looks like I can't ever win, but instead you say, the Bible says, I'm more than a conqueror through Him who loves me. It just seems like that everything keeps going wrong, but I know I'm going to win because the Bible says that whatever is born of God, hey, I'm born of God, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. I'm going to win. I tell you, we need to renew our minds day by day with the Word of God. And you know, when you're dealing with relationships with people and you're having a hard time with somebody and you're struggling in those relationships, it's so easy to take on the mindset of the world and to accuse or to blame and to be angry. But how Christ-like it is when we take on the mindset of Jesus. Listen, Jesus said that the world will know that we're His disciples by our love for one another. You see, we've been called to live a different life than the world around us. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to read verses 17 through 20. He says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. He just said it again. The Scripture says very plainly, we're not supposed to live like the world around us. You no longer walk like the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. And there's that again. Listen, what you think is so important. The futility of their mind, their thought life, their thought patterns, it's futile. It's not leading them towards life, but towards destruction. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness and greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. That's not the Christian life. No, the Christian life is a radical change, a transformation. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Now first I want you to notice here in verse 22, he says you put off that old man, that old way of life. Listen, when you're born again, God's Spirit came to live in you. You have a new nature. You're a new creation. But you also still have a responsibility to put off that old man, that old sinful way of life, to put it off, to make up your mind that you're not going to live like the world anymore. Verse 23, he says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The NIV says the attitude of your mind. It's talking about how, you know, you have those thought patterns, your attitude, the way that you think. You see, if you're going to really live the new life, you're going to have to take on a new attitude, a new way of thinking, be renewed in the attitude of your mind. Verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So we put off that old man and we put on the new man, that new nature. But in the middle, he tells us, be renewed in the attitude of your mind. And I'm telling you, church, it's such a real key that if we're going to live the new life, put off the old and put on the new, we have to renew our minds in the middle. Amen. Makes it very clear, that new nature that was given to us by God when we're born again, if we're going to really live that out in our life, we've got to renew our minds. Change your attitudes. Change your thought patterns. Be renewed in the middle in your minds. Listen, it amazes me how many Christians know the Word of God and yet don't really live by it. There was an old farmer sitting on his front porch in a rocking chair, just rocking and doing nothing. His farm is a mess. The crops look awful. And a young book salesman comes up on the porch and he says, sir, I've got a book here that will tell you how that you can increase your crops by tenfold. The things that this book will teach you will show you how to increase your crops tenfold. Well, the old farmer didn't say anything for a minute. He just kept rocking and finally said, son, I already know how to increase my crops tenfold. And then he just went back to rocking. And right there is where a whole lot of Christians are living. They know. They know what they're supposed to be doing, but they've gotten content to just stay where they are. Well, I want to challenge you this morning. Real Christianity, basic Christianity, it is about a transformed life. It's about radical change. It is about changing your life that people can see. You know, I remember when I was first born again, everybody around me knew that something happened. And many of you, this room is full of changed lives. Many of you, when you got born again, people knew that something had happened in your life. But I'm convinced that even today, that people need to be able to see change in us. Even if we've been serving the Lord for quite some time, people need to be able to see change, that we're not just staying the same, we're still growing in the Lord. Listen, if you want to have a great witness and testimony and impact on other people around you, I challenge you to let God continue to transform your life through the power of His Word. Transformed life. It begins when we're born again, when we begin that personal relationship with Jesus, we put our faith and trust in Him, and we're born again. And for our life to be truly transformed, we have to be willing to fully commit ourselves to Him, to offer ourselves as living sacrifices to Him. And then the Word tells us several times that that transformation continues in our life as we renew our minds. You know, as you change the way you think with the Word of God, it transforms your life. And a transformed life will have a great impact on the lives of others, on the world around you. Jesus said it very plainly, Matthew 5:13-16. He says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot of men. Listen, salt is used to season food. Now, I know people get real spiritual and use it for a lot of other spiritual examples here, but Jesus just kept it simple in this passage. He says, salt that's lost its flavor is then good for nothing. You see, when you have food and you add that salt, it changes it. It's a change agent. But if that salt has no flavor, it doesn't change anything. And what did Jesus say? It's good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. And I'm telling you this morning that a Christian that is just like the world around them has no impact. I don't want to be good for nothing, do you? No, if we want to have an impact on this world and influence and see God use us to help people and to see lives changed, we got to be willing to be different. We got to be transformed. He goes on, he says, you're the light of the world, and a city that's set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Now listen, he says we're the light of the world, that people are going to see. Well, how do they see? It's not just by the way we dress or because we act religious or we go to church. No, he says specifically that they may see your good works. It's how you live your life, that you live your life like a true Christian, somebody that's been radically changed. And when we do that, we're like a light set on a hill. And everybody around, you see, you can turn all the lights off in here and you just turn on one light. And oh, what a difference it makes. You know, there's a lot of Christians that work in dark places. I know that it's difficult to be around people who use profane language and people who are mean, and maybe they even persecute you because you're a Christian. And I know all of us would like to work in a totally Christian environment, but you just need to realize that Jesus is using you as a light. And the more different that you are from those people that are still in darkness, oh, the more that God is going to use you to have an impact on them for eternity. The end result of a transformed life is that God uses us in this world. We are salt and light in this world. The world will see our good works and glorify our Father. See, when the world says, take, we give. When the world demands, we offer. When the world says, I want to be in charge, I want it my way, we step in and we serve. Does that sound like Jesus? That's exactly the way Jesus was. You see, that's how we're transformed. That's how we're not living by the ways of this world anymore. When the world promotes themselves, we choose to humble ourselves. When the world brags about what they've done, instead, we give God praise. Lives that are radically changed. The world trying to get the best of each other in a business deal. And I tell you, I like a good deal. I don't like to waste any money. We should be good stewards. But we're not trying to get the best of people. No, we want to be a blessing to people and be a blessing to those that we do business with. We need to be different in our actions, the way we conduct ourselves, the way we talk. And I tell you, so much of it begins in our minds. We win that battle in our minds. We renew our minds and be transformed in our lives. Too many Christians, too content to not be changed into the likeness of Jesus. For some of us, now listen, it'd shock people if we start acting like Jesus. You might just scare somebody if you just started acting, really acting like the Lord. They might think, well, who are you? What happened to that ugly guy that worked here? And you might all of a sudden have an effect and an influence in their life. I want to challenge you today in your relationships, how you do business with people, how you conduct yourself, young people, the way you act at school. Do you act like a Christian or do you act like everybody else? I've told this before, but I've never forgotten it. It just amazed me. I went to eat lunch with a young person one day, back when I was youth pastor at Grace many, many years ago. And I sat down with this young man in junior high at his lunch table, and his friends all came up around, and he introduced me as his youth pastor, and they all began to laugh. And they said, "You go to church?" They couldn't believe it. Do you really live the Christian life, or do you just go to church? And I want to challenge you this morning. Moms and dads, this is for all of us. This is part of the basic Christian life. It's a transformed life. It's radical change. And how does it happen? It begins with that relationship with Jesus. And as we are willing to really and fully commit our lives to Him, and we renew our minds with the Word of God, and as we do that, we put off that old man. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You put on that new man, created in righteousness and true holiness. And you live the Christian life. And we continue to grow day by day, being conformed into the image of God's Son. Amen.